اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في شأن أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام علي عمود الدين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Tonight and the Saturday night, both of these nights we are holding the Majlis al-Aza for Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim as-salatu wa s-salam. And this night is the night of the Zarbat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, where this son of the Yahudi woman Ibn Muljim al-Muradi hit Imam Ali alayhi salam at the time of the Fajr. And Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said a statement at that occasion which he never said throughout his life. Fustu وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ By the Lord of Kaaba, I became successful. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the most successful person of the entire history. And everything of his behavior, his belief and actions is about success, because it has, whatever scholars say, sibghatun ilahiyya. Every belief and action of Imam Ali alayhi salam has a divine color to it. Somebody who has every belief that he believes in and every action that he performs having a divine color to it is always successful. We need to have coloring of our beliefs and actions with the divine color, which is the color of Noor. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is about the Noor of Allah. Somebody who is all Noor of Allah is always successful, whether he was praying, whether he was, when he was fasting, when he was sleeping, when he was doing his lengthy sajdas, when he was helping out the destitute and poor and fuqara and masakeen in the, you know, day in and day out, when he was sitting with the fuqara people of the town when he was supervising the upraising of orphans of the city and his government, when he was overseeing the tarbiyat of the widows of his government in the Islamic Ummah, when he was busy in the battlefield doing jihad, starting from the Badr and Uhud and till the final battles of Hunain, in all the occasions he was successful, beyond the doubt. But he never used this statement in any of those occasions. Instead, he chose to say this statement at the time when Ibn Muljim la'anatullah alayh striked him with this darbat on the same place where he had the injury earlier from Amr ibn Abdul Wud, and the occasion of Khandaq, Baytul Ahzab, Ma'rakatul Ahzab. And Imam Ali said that, "I swear to Allah, I became successful." So our scholars say that Imam Ali a.s.'s life and teachings is full of ma'ul hayat, abe hayat, the water of life. The people talk about Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, has he drank from some kind of water which is available some hidden place, some unknown location in this planet, and that's why he's going to survive forever. First of all, we don't have that kind of water available on the planet. If that was available, our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the most deserving person to drink from that water. Isn't it right? Ahead of anybody else. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, "Innaka mayyit," you are going to die. "Wa innahum mayyitun," certainly you are going to die and certainly they are going to die. So nobody is going to survive. When the Holy Prophet is bound to die and cannot survive forever physically, then no one else has the right to be able to drink because there is no such water available. The reality of the ma'ul hayat and abe hayat is actually the ma'arif and the high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, which provide eternal life for the souls of the people who learn, understand and practice those ma'arif. These ma'arif and high level teachings are coming from the Holy Prophet and from Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when we read the ziyarat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the ziyarat which is narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, this is narrated by Shaheed al-Awwal, our great marji from Lubnan, in his very famous book Al-Mazar. Al-Mazar is a book in which he mentioned the ziyarat of the Awliya'ullah. So Shaheed al-Awwal has narrated this riwayat from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that Imam doing the ziyarat of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, I mean, he teaches us the ziyarat of Imam Ali alayhi salam like that, "As-salamu ala mizan al-a'mal," salam be on the one who is on the scale, on the measure, on the yardstick, on the mizan of all the actions. So every action of every human from the beginning till the end of humanity has to be judged through Imam Ali's behavior. He's the mizan, not just the actions but even the beliefs. Our beliefs, our akhlaq, our moral behaviors and our amal, our practical practices in our everyday life has to be judged in accordance with Imam Ali's beliefs and his morality and his behavior. As-salamu ala mizan al-amal wa muqallibil ahwal. So Imam Sadiq calls Imam Ali alayhi salam as the one who changes. He is the muqallib. He changes the situations and kayfiyat and the, you know, conditions of the people. So many people get transformed because of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. His walayat and love is the essence, is the key for the transformation of the of the humans into becoming divine and nurani. Wasayf izil jalal, and salam be on the person who is the sword of Allah, the majestic, who has jalalat and majesty. So Imam Ali salam is the sword of the majestic Lord. So this is how Imam Ali has been talked about by our Imam. Every ibadat that Imam Ali salam used to do, our urafa have the right to talk about Imam Ali salam. Well, nobody has the right to talk about His Highness in the real sense, because nobody can understand His Highness other than the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. But among the fallible human beings, those people who have the best right to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam are those urafa who are Ahlul Kashf wa Shuhud, those who are witnessing the realities, because they learn this Irfan and Shuhud and witnessing the realities of the universe of Alam al-Malakut because they are following the footsteps of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who himself throughout his life performed every ibadat based on shuhud, not based on ghaib and unseen informations. Every ibadat that he did in his life was never based on unseen informations. Instead, everything he did was based on the realities that he saw. And starting from the haqiqatul haqa'iq, the reality of all realities, which is the name our philosophers give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the reality of all the realities. He is the reality behind all the realities. So starting from haqiqatul haqa'iq, when somebody said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, hal ra'ayta rabbaka? Did you see your Lord? And Imam Ali alayhi salam said that lam a'bud rabban lam arahu. I did not worship a Lord that I did not see. And then he moves forward by saying that لَمْ تَرَهُ الْعُيُونَ بِمُشَاهَدَةِ الْعَيَانِ. That means, in other words, I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words, that it's not the eyes, it's not the physical eyes, it's not the eyes that see Allah. It's the بَلْ رَأَتْ أَوْ وَلَكِنْ تَرْدِيدْ مِنِّي وَلَكِنْ رَأَتْهُ الْقُلُوبِ بِحَقَائِقِ الْإِيمَانِ. Instead, the souls of the people see Allah with the realities of their faith. So through the vision of the soul, Imam Ali alayhi salam used to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. And not just that, but he also said that مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا, I did not see a thing, إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ. I did not see a thing except that I saw Allah before seeing that thing, and after seeing that thing, wa ma'ahu, and alongside that thing, wa fihi, and in that thing. So what does that mean? Obviously it means nothing but the fact that what all Imam Ali saw in his life was Allah and nothing but Allah. Isn't that right? That's exactly what it means. He saw no one and nothing other than Allah in his life. And he saw everyone and anything as much as Allah prescribed and allowed to be seen. And as soon as he did not allow and did not prescribe and did not like something or someone to be seen or paying attention towards someone or something, Imam Ali didn't pay attention to that someone or that something. So that means seeing nothing but Allah. This is one of the simplest interpretations, although it has much higher interpretations than this. So we find that his ma'arif are actually the ma'ul hayat, abe hayat are the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And the same ma'ul hayat, abe hayat that we talk about, is they were the zuhur of this ma'ul hayat, this abe hayat is going to be in the form of al-kawthar, the fountain of Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. Fountain of Kawthar is nothing but the zuhur of the same Abe Hayat, Ma'ul Hayat that we talk about. And these teachings, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. For you who believe, respond positively to the call of Allah and the Messenger when He invites you towards something that gives you life. So every teaching of the Prophet is muhyi. It gives us hayat and life. Every teaching of the Prophet. There is no teaching which is against our life. People say, you know, Maulana, we want to live here. So we cannot do that because we want to live here. That's exactly what we are saying to them. That we also want to live. And we want actually to live eternally, forever, as successful. Not just live in this life, but live in a life which is guaranteed for success and bound to be success in both the worlds. So the teachings of Quran are all, and the Ahlul Bayt are muhyi. They provide the hayat. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is fountain of Kawthar, actually belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the owner of the fountain. He himself has said, Al-Kawthar li. Prophet said in his authentic hadith, Al-Kawthar li. Kawthar belongs to me. There's a fountain Allah gave to him. That's his. He is the owner of that fountain. So Al-Kawthar li wa aliyun saqihi. And Ali is its drink provider. So the drink of Kawthar, which every single mu'min drinks before death, before departing this dunya, every mu'min does not leave this dunya until he drinks from the fountain of Kawthar through the hands of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he sees his place inside the paradise, and he sees the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam, at least if not the Prophet as well and the rest of the Imams as well. But Imam Ali alayhi salam at least is confirmed. So every mu'min who dies with Iman and Taqwa is bound to drink the fountain of Kawthar before his death, right in this world, you know, before his death, before the Malakul Maut can dare take his soul out, which he cannot do nothing without the supervision of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because they are all under his command, and that's how a mu'min drinks. So the drinks of Kawthar, which is the Ma'ul Hayat, Abe Hayat, is provided by Imam Ali himself. And all those people who are walking the footstep of Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam need to realize the real Ma'ul Hayat, the real Abe Hayat, is the Ma'arif of Quran, which Imam Ali is providing that drink to all those who are thirsty for the Ma'arif through the ta'aleem of kitab, the teaching of the book of God, and through the hikmat, and through the tazkiyatun nafs. Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal hikmah wa in kanu min qablu lafi dalalin mubin. So ta'aleem al kitab and hikmat and tazkiyatun nafs, this is what our scholars say. These are the ma'arif which he, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is teaching to all those who are thirsty for the water of life. So his ibadat, his iman, was not based on ghaib. That's our iman, which is based on ghaib. And that's not something which is deeply appreciated. It is appreciated, yes. Having iman bil ghaib is a good thing. We appreciate it. But that's not deeply appreciated, because that's the rock bottom level of Iman. You have just the basic. If you believe in the ghaib, you're not on the highest or middle levels of Iman. You're on the very beginning level of Iman, because you believe in the ghaib, in the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a blank check, an open challenge in the Quran. أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That's an open challenge of Allah towards us, so that we may also end up elevating ourselves, removing the hijabat and curtains of sins, so we may also end up seeing the batin and malakut of the hidden realities of the heavens and the earth. So we were supposed to convert, we human beings were supposed to convert our iman on the unseen and get it elevated towards the higher level of iman over on the seen. Iman bishuhud instead of iman bil ghaib. So that's how a person who has his entire iman based on shuhud. He sees Allah 24/7 with the vision of his spirituality. Obviously not with the physical eyes. Allah is not a body to be seen with physical eyes. But the vision of the spirituality and the haqa'iq of iman, the realities of the faith. So his faith, everything of his faith is based on shuhud and witnessing, will have the right to say at the time of prayers, doing the tafsir, Imam Ali alayhi salam, doing the tafsir of the word of iqama. When we say adhan and iqama, the iqamat of the prayers, Imam Ali alayhi salam doing the tafsir of the this segment of iqamat, iqamat as-salah. Let's turn to Imam Ali alayhi salam. What is the tafsir of this word? Prayers is now standing up. Qad qamat as-salah. Certainly the prayers has stood up. What's the meaning of that word? Let's ask Imam Ali alayhi salam. In his tafsir, which is narrated in the very sharif and noble book, Kitab al-Tawheed, is considered to be one of the noblest books on the subject of our belief system, Ilm al-Kalam, written by Shaykh al-Saduq. So in his book of Tawheed, Shaykh Saduq narrates this narration that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, doing the tafsir of Qad Qamat al-Salah, he says, Hana waqtu ziyara. Now the time of ziyarat has arrived. Now look at the tafsir of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is doing the tafsir of the segment Qad Qamat al-Salah. The prayer is now standing. He says the time of ziyarat arrives. Ziyarat of whom? Ziyarat of Allah. So he is saying that this sentence, in other words, stands for the fact that now is the time to see Allah. Because he used to see Allah, isn't that right? In the same meaning through the haqa'iq of iman that I just described. Wal munajati. Time of munajat means a closed, whispered prayer. Munajat we always do to somebody who is close to us, isn't that right? That's opposite to munadat in Arabic. We have two words, nida and najwa in Arabic. Nida means calling somebody. That somebody may be standing far away, close to you or far away from you. That's where we use the word nida in Arabic. So, nida and munadat from the same master, same infinitive. And the second word we use in Arabic is najwa and munajat. So nida, you call somebody and that somebody may be standing far away from you. So you scream, you say loud in order to draw his attention. Whereas munajat and najwa means a whisper. So you whisper when somebody is close to you. So you don't have to shout. You don't have to worry about, raising your voice high because the person is already close to you. And you don't want anyone else to be part of your conversation either. That's why you are whispering. If you wanted other people to be part of what you are saying, you would just say it in a regular way. Isn't it right? So we do the najwa and munajat when we really don't want anyone else between us and Allah to be present, including hubbud dunya, the attachment of the material interests of this dunya for which the people are buttering up the tahuts. Isn't that right? For the material interest of this dunya. This is the biggest obstacle in the way of munajat. Anybody who has any attachment with this dunya for any reason, he must understand that this guy is unable to do munajat and is unable to get his prayers accepted by Allah because the Prophet has already said in his authentic hadith, Al-Musalli Yunaji Rabbahu. The person who prays performs munajat with his Lord. Prophet did not say, Al-Musalli Yunadi Rabbahu. Person who prays, calls upon his Lord. No. That's not a calling. It's a whisper. It's a whisper. Al-Musalli Yunaji Rabbahu. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, going back to his tafsir, he says, Hana waqtu ziyarate. The time of ziyarat has arrived, and ziyarat of Allah. Wal munajat and close whisper towards Allah, wa qada'il hawa'id, in the time of fulfillment of the needs. When Prophet used to have a hajat, he used to pray two rakats of prayers. You know, just simple two rakats of prayers. Whenever you have hajat, stand up and pray two rakats of prayers. That's the time you're doing munajat, a close whisper to Allah. Why would He not listen? What blocks not listening, what blocks us from Allah is our sins. So prayers itself is a means of cleansing our souls.
If somebody prays five times a day, it's just like if there's a nahar. لَوْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ بَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ نَهْرًا فَيَخْتَسِلْ فِيهِ خَمْسَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ فَهَلْ يَبْقَى فِي بَدَنِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الدَّرَنِ.
If somebody has a stream flowing at his doorstep and he takes a shower, he takes a dip, he basically takes a bath in that stream five times a day, can you imagine any kind of dirt or filth remaining in his body, in the body of somebody who takes a bath five times a day?
Similarly, if a person prays five times a day, none of his sins would remain. So prayer itself helps us in the qada of hawa'ij. Wa darkil muna. And Imam Ali says, and reaching your goal, your target that you want to achieve, your whatever a person wants to achieve in his life. Wal visalu ila Allah, wal musulu ila Allah, and reaching towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Wa ila karamatihi wa ghufranihi wa afwihi wa ridwanihi, and reaching towards his karamat, his dignity, his ghufran, his forgiveness, his afw, his forgiveness, and his ridwan means his pleasure. There's a difference in Arabic between ghufran and afw. You may think I just translated both the words in the same way. Well, sometimes it's very, very hard to translate the Arabic terminologies and values in other languages. Well, maghfirat stands for the case when somebody comes and seeks apology from you. If somebody comes to you and seeks apology, and you are a rahim person, you are a merciful person, you forgive him for his mistake, he's seeking apology from you. So now you forgive him. This is called, you are basically doing ghufran. You are forgiving what he is seeking from you. Forgiving his mistake and sin after he is seeking forgiveness and apology from you. Whereas is means in Arabic that you are you just ignore what a person is doing. So this shows your highness, that you don't want the person to feel embarrassed in front of you. You're ready to just ignore what he did and just move on. And there's a third word also, a third word that we use in Arabic, which is called asaf. And saf in Arabic is even higher than af. Saf means that without the person asking you and seeking apology, you just forgive him from far away, without him standing in need to come to you and seek forgiveness. Without him coming to you, you are ready to just forgive him like that. But this is way too high for a person. Anybody who does mistake wrong towards you, you don't even want him to come to you to seek forgiveness. You're ready to forgive him from far away. This is called saf, which is even way higher than maghfirat. So this kind of person who has every segment of his iman and every action of his and every moral practice of his based on shuhud deserves to be called what the Prophet has said to him, Aliyun Amududdin, the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech. Ali is the pillar of the religion. The same thing we have learned about the prayers as well. As-salatu Amududdin. So pillars is a pillar of the religion. And the same hadith is for Imam Ali alayhi salam as well. Aliyun Amududdin. So the whole religion is based on Imam Ali alayhi salam's walayat. So all roads in Islam lead to the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this ziyarat of Allah that he used to do in his prayers
although he used to do the ziyarat 24/7, all the times and every time, but specifically in the time of prayers, was something which is totally understandable, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal, isn't that right? Allah is jameel, Allah is beautiful, yuhibbul jamal, and he loves beauty. Everything he created is jameel. Everything, including the poison of a snake, our scholars say, is nothing but jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's correct. Everything is jamal. The poison of snake is not shar. It's not an eagle. It's khair. Allah is fa'ilul khair only. This is khair for the snake to defend itself. The scientists say today, the snake bites in its defense. Isn't that right? So if he didn't have nothing to defend himself, that would have been wrong. So even the poison of a snake is not evil. That's khair. It depends, how we are supposed to defend ourselves from that. That's a different story. But itself, everything that Allah created is khair and jamal and beautiful. So look at what Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha had said to Ibn Ziyad la'anatullah alayh in the darbar of Ibn Ziyad when he was taunting tongues on Hazrat Zainab, that kayfa ra'ayti sun'allah bi akhiki. How did you see what Allah did to your brother? Look at the tongues. And Hazrat Zainab salam, look at her irfan and ma'rifat. She replied back, ma ra'aytu illa jameelan. I didn't see except jameel. That means it was nothing but the mazhar of the beauty and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she used to see the jamal of Allah always, just like her father. So everything in the universe Allah created has jamal in it, if we understand. So we find that someone like Imam Ali alayhi salam, who has, obviously there are things which are also madhar of jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to keep that in mind as well. So everything in the universe is madhar of jalal or jamal of Allah. So Imam Ali alayhi salam was always busy in witnessing the jamal of Allah, and that's the reason why he never used to pay attention to anything else. And that's the real hurriyat and freedom which Islam talks about. In qawman abadullaha rahbatan, there are people who worship Allah for the sake of their inclination towards rewards in the paradise. In other words, isn't it right? There are some people who do the ibadah, prayers and fasting, and they abstain from riba, tuhmat, hasad, bughd, envy, kina, hik, baghina, so many things, isn't it right? Because they know that if we do that, qurbatan Allah, we are going to get the sawab in paradise. So fatilka ibadatu tujjar, Amirul Mu'mineen says in Nahjul Balagha, that's the worship of businessmen, tujjar, traders. You give something, you get something. Isn't it right? You're doing an ibadat, so you get a reward in lieu of that effort. وَإِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهَ رَهْبَةً, and there are people who worshipped Allah out of the fear. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْعَبِيدِ, that's the worship, that's the ibadat of the slaves. Slaves are afraid of their masters, so they have to obey the dictation. Because if they don't, they get beaten up. That's how they used to beat up the slaves back then, isn't that right? And Islam removed the slavery, the evil of slavery. So slaves, that's the slaves' worship, that they are afraid. That's why they do. وَإِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهَ شُكْرًا. And Amir Muni alayhi salam says that there are people, and certainly there are people who worshipped out of the gratefulness. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْأَحْرَارِ, that's the ibadat of the free. Islam gives us the concept of the real freedom. So he himself has said, ma abadtuka khawfan min narik, I did not worship you because of the scare of the fire, your fire. Wala tama'an fi jannatika, nor did I worship you in the greed of your paradise. Walakin wajadtuka ahlan lil ibada, but I found you to be deserving of worship. Fa abadtuka, so I worship you. Also, so this, the difference is that if let's suppose a revelation arrives on the Prophet
that now onwards, if you pray the Salatul Fajr, you have no reward. If you keep on sleeping and you miss on your Salatul Fajr, there is no punishment in the hellfire either. Let's see how many people are going to still wake up for the Fajr prayers after this kind of revelation coming. If a revelation comes that now onwards, if you talk bad, gossiping, backbiting, a mu'min, ghibat, it's no longer haram. If you abstain from ghibat, qurbatan ilallah, there's no sawab. Now, how many people are still ready to control their tongue and their, you know, their ethical behaviors? So, Imam, look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. This helps us to understand their highness. So we realize that when we hold them so high, it's not emotional. There is no room for emotions in Islam. Imam Ali says, even if Allah did not promise to punish us, did not commit to punish over his sin, over sinning him, لَكَانَ يَجِبُ أَلَّا يُعْصَى شُكْرًا لِنِعَمِهِ, it was still wajib that people obey him for the sake of being grateful towards his blessings. Even if he removes the punishments, even if there's no commitment in place for us getting punished if we sin, still we should do what he said, that because he's the providing us all those ni'mats. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's ibadat was ibadat of shuhud and kashf, because he's seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the highest level of ibadat. That's why all he was seeing was the mashhud. What Urufa say, if a person has ibadat of shuhud wal kashf, ibadat based on seeing, not ibadat based on bookish informations and reading things and then you start doing the ibadat because you learn it is wajib, but your ibadat is based on seeing the realities and then worshipping Allah, then this kind of ibadat, you will always bring into consideration what your mashhud wants from you. Mashhud is Allah, the one who is seen. You are seeing, you are called shahid. The one who is witnessed, the one who is seen is called mashhud, which is Allah. So in that kind of ibadat of shuhud, when you are seeing Allah, you will always care about what Allah wants from you. Because you are, all you are paying attention to is Allah, nothing else. So that's how Imam Ali alayhi salam was. And this makes us easy to understand the two seemingly contradictory events taking place in Imam Ali's life. One incident is about paying the zakat. Isn't it right? This faqir person shows up in the masjid of the Prophet. Masjid is full of ashab. Masjid was full, history says. There was not one or two, full of ashab. Prophet was also there. And there are so many rich people around as well, who had more than their necessities available with them. And there were also people who are, you know, who had a lot of material blessings there. And this poor destitute person came and he was begging inside the masjid. And not a single person responded to him, despite the fact that some people had more than their necessities with them. And this behavior is condemned in Islam. Very much condemned. So now, this poor guy started to address Allah by saying that, "Oh my Lord, be a witness." Now this is very serious stuff for awliyaullah. If somebody addresses Allah and files his official complaint, now we are all liable on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's court tomorrow and in the grave. That's a very serious stuff in Ilm al-Irfan. If you do something and you file your complaint towards Allah, this is registered. So this person started to complain towards Allah, which is very good to complain towards Allah, not against Allah. There are two kinds of complaints. I discussed, remember once in one of the Eid sermons, for those of you who were present, ash-shakwa Allah and ash-shakwa ilallah. We have two kinds of complaints in Islam. One is condemned, one is appreciated. So he complains towards Allah and said that be a witness that I am returning away from your house empty-handed. There's nobody in your house. Now this means that things have been sent to Allah's domain, and Allah's house is not serving the purpose what it was supposed to serve. It's a very serious matter. So those who care about the house of Allah, because they care about Allah, have to respond. Isn't that right? So that's where Imam Ali al-Islam pointed with his finger while he was doing the ruku, and the poor man saw him, and he came straight away to Imam Ali al-Islam and took away the ring, you know, from him, and walked out happily. When Prophet saw this incident, Prophet prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the dua of the Prophet, revealed the very famous verse of Holy Quran, which our scholars of tafsir say that this verse of Holy Quran, see, if there's a verse revealed for a sha'n al-nuzul, there's a sha'n al-nuzul, there's a reason why the revelation took place, somebody did something, that's called sha'n al-nuzul. Sha'n al-nuzul is laysa mukhassisan wala muqayyidan. That does not restrict the vast application of the verse after the incident. You can always apply the same verse on as many people who are deserving for the verse to be applied upon them till the day of judgment. That doesn't mean if a verse was revealed for some scenario, it can no longer be applied on other people. No, it can always be applied. But there are some verses of Holy Quran which can never be applied on any human being. And this verse is one of those rare verses of Quran which can never be applied on any other human being, including the rest of the 11 Imams. So this verse is mukhtas, exclusively specific to Imam Ali alayhi salam, our scholars say in the tafsir. So Prophet prayed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the favor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. Your wali is Allah and His Messenger, and those والذين آمنوا الذين, and those who have faith, those يؤتون الزكاة. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, those who install the prayers and give away the zakat. وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, while they are doing ruku, in the condition of doing the ruku. There's nobody else who can deserve to be a mistaq of this verse other than Imam Ali till the day of judgment. There were people who paid to their ghulam. There were some of the rulers coming after the Prophet's death. There were some of the rulers who paid 20 times to their ghulam and asked their ghulam and slave to come and ask similar kind of begging from me when I am praying and I am in the ruku, and maybe some verse comes in my favor as well. This guy paid 20 times to his ghulam, and every time ghulam showed up and asked from him, and he gave away his ring in the ruku, in the bogh and hatred of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but no verse came for him. 20 times. So if this is one incident, and the other seemingly opposite incident was the case when Imam Ali in one of the battles has one arrow striking in his leg. Ashab were trying, some of the Ashab were trying to pull out the arrow. Obviously it's very painful, naturally, for any human being. And Imam Ali was feeling a lot of pain. So Prophet said, take out the arrow when Ali is in the prayers doing sajda. In other words, that's exactly what the Ashab did. So Imam Ali al-Salam, after a while when he started his salat, some of those Ashab and companions, they came. When Imam Ali went into the sajda, they came and they dragged the arrow out of his leg, and he didn't feel. And this is what the enemies of Ahlul Bayt start i'tirad and objection. That on one incident we find that Imam Ali is able to hear the voice of the faqir and pay him the zakat. On the other incident, Imam Ali alayhi salam doesn't even feel the pain of the arrow. That's why I said in the beginning minutes of my speech that the Urafa among the fallible humans are the best people to define the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, because they are on the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt, Ahlul Kashf wa Shuhud. They also see the realities and understand this Ma'ul Hayat, this water of Ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, which is the water of life, Abi Hayat. So our scholars and Urafa have said that a person who is busy and engaged in looking at the Mashhood, looking at the witness, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Jamal, is not ready to see or to pay attention to anyone or anything else other than Allah, except what Allah pays attention to. In the case of the faqir, because Allah is paying attention towards helping out that faqir person, a person who is witnessing Allah will never be able to ignore what Allah is wanting, because he is witnessing the Jamal of Allah. All he is witnessing is His Jamal. How can he ignore what Allah wants, and how can he not pay attention towards what Allah is paying attention to? Whereas in the case of the arrow, this is not the case of the zakat incident, isn't it right? That's Imam Ali's personal matter, isn't it right? Although it is not in the real sense, not personal, but in that case, because it was personal, there is, it cannot be compared with the incident of zakat. So Imam Ali salam is paying attention towards the attention of Allah, whatever Allah, the Mashhood, pays attention to. So his majari lil idrak, his hearing and seeing, and his majari lil tahriq, that means his hand and feet, are all in the control of the Mashhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this kind of personality who has the shuhud, he had been already told by the Holy Prophet that about the incident that the ashqal akhirin, the most shaqi person of the later generations, will come and he will basically strike Imam Ali alayhi salam with the warbat, in other words, and his beard will get red with the blood of his head. So we find in the narration that when Ibn Muljim la'anatullah alayh strike Imam Ali alayhi salam with his sword, Imam Ali alayhi salam could not continue with his prayers and he fell down, and it was so deep into his head, in the same place where he had the earlier zarbat. And not just that, but it came right up till the place of his sajda and the forehead, so deep into his head. And when he fell down, he picked up the soil of the masjid of Kufa, and he's putting the soil over his head and reciting this ayat of Quran, Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. So we learn in the light of the verse that we created you from the soil, and towards the soil we are going to return you back, and from the soil we are going to resurrect you again for the next time, another time. So Imam is reading the ayat, and then he said, the Amr of Allah has arrived, and what the Prophet has said, is true, in other words. So that was the Prophet has already prophesied. People saw that his beard became red with the blood of his head. And وَالْفُسْتُ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَبِاللَّهِ وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Not just this, but there were divine arrangements. Imam Hassan alayhi salam was intentionally stopped by Imam Ali not to accompany with him, not to go with him on that morning to the Masjid al-Kufa. Imam Ali himself, this is the maslahat of the Imam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So now when Imam Ali is hit by the darbat, we find that the divine sign started to appear. Ayat of Allah started to appear. There was a zalzala, zilzal. There was an earthquake on the earth. The earth was quaking. All the seven heavens, samawat sab, haf asman, sato asman, all the seven heavens were quaking. And the angels of Allah in the heavens started to yell and scream. And the black color wind started to blow all over, and the whole world turned into black and dark. And that's where the Nida Jibreel came between the heavens and earth and raised his Nida, his voice, Tahaddamat wallahi arkanul huda. That means, I swear to Allah, the pillars of guidance have shattered. And Qutla ibn Amm al-Mustafa, that means the cousin of Mustafa has been killed. Qutla Ali al-Murtada, Ali al-Murtada has been killed. So Jibreel's voice has been heard by everybody.
Everyone heard the voice, including Zainab ibn Umm Kulthum.
How much Imam Ali loves Zainab ibn Umm Kulthum?
How much he cares about his daughters?
So Imam Hassan alayhi salam rushed, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, they rushed towards the Masjid al-Kufa, and they found the Imam is lying there in his blood, or lying over the floor in his blood. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam Imam Ali said to him to lead the Jamaat prayers, to lead the prayers first, Salat first. Look at the importance of Salat. Despite the fact Imam Ali is injured, but he could not finish that prayers in that situation. So he's asking his son to lead those prayers. That's the Fadilat time, isn't that right? That the Awwal al-Waqt. So Imam Ali salam asked his son Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam to lead. Imam Hassan is first leading the prayers, leaving his dad injured, and he's leading the prayers with the khushu of qalb. And after he's done with the prayers, that's where the riwayat says Imam Hassan puts the head of his dad into his lap and says, "Dad, how can I see you in this situation?" In other words, and Imam Ali, and he started to cry. And Imam Ali says, "Don't cry, because of your crying, the angels on the heaven started to cry because of Imam Hassan alayhi salam." So now, after a while, people started to rush into the Masjid al-Kufa. People came into the Masjid. Everybody heard the voice of Jibreel. It was loud and clear, you know, and people rushed towards the Masjid. And Imam Hassan inquired that, "Who is your qatil?" And Imam Ali told that, "My qatil will soon be brought." So now, after a while, Imam Ali is now taken towards his Bayt al-Sharaf, towards his own house. And the riwayat says, he is alive still, but he is carried as if somebody is carrying a janazah. Just like they carry a janazah, because Imam Ali could not walk on his foot now. So he is being carried just like a janazah is carried. And we find when Imam Ali alayhi salam came close, see, all the widows of the town, the orphans of the town, the poor people of the town, everybody gathered, because he was the caretaker of everyone. They all gathered towards him. So now when he came close towards his own house, he asked, according to some scholars have narrated, that he asked Imam Hassan to ask the people to leave. And the reason that the scholars have mentioned, ihtimalan, probably was the reason that now that Imam Ali is going to enter into his house, his daughter Zainab ibn Kulthum are there. They will obviously start to cry over Imam Hussain, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he doesn't want the voices of crying of Zainab and Umm Kulthum to reach towards non-mahram people. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find Imam Ali asked the people to leave. "I would like to say to Mawla, let's come and visit the, this is the year of 40th Hijrah of Islamic calendar. Let's go and pay a visit to, you already know, let's see what happened in the 61st of Hijrah, in the same city of Kufa where you are in. Your very daughter Zainab is now brought as an asira and captive, you know, in the streets of Kufa. And the Munadi is announcing there, Hadihi Sabaya min Banati Rasulullah. Without their hijab, you know, their hijabs were removed. And the announcer is announcing that these are the captives from the daughters of Rasulullah. And the people of Kufa at that time are standing over the rooftops to see, to witness the Asara of Ali Muhammad. And when somebody asks, Min Ayyil Asara Antunna, what kind of slaves are you people, or captives are you people? And the answer was given, Nahnu Min Asara Ali Muhammad. We are the captains of Ali Muhammad. That means the family of the Prophet has been taken a captive and tied up in chains. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and all the heads are moving, and the head of Imam Hussein and the rest of the people are carried over the spears. And we find Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and the ladies, they're all tied up in chains and taken towards the bazaar in front of the non-mahram people to witness. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, I wish Imam Ali alayhi salam was there to see how much he cared about Hazrat Zainab, to see how she was taken there, especially in the time when she entered into the darbar of Ibn Ziyad. When she enters into the darbar of Ibn Ziyad, which is one of the most severe and one of the hardest moments for Hazrat Zainab to face this tahoot, but still she's doing the sabr and istiqamat in that occasion. And at the time when Ibn Ziyad is trying to kill Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we find Hazrat Zainab wraps herself around Hazrat Imam Sajjad to protect his life. So she is certainly part of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, and she is the defender of the imamat of Ahlul Bayt.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيما الولي الفقيه قاعد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسرى المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين